Would you join me and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we read the scripture tonight? Beginning in verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one faith we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If there were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. Would you join me in prayer? God of heaven and earth, creator of all that has ever been or ever will be, we acknowledge that without your love, demonstrated to us through your Son dying on the cross, that we would have no hope and we would be eternally lost. We know now in our hearts that all our righteous deeds were as filthy rags, and that there was no other name by which we can be saved except that of Jesus. I thank you for the faith that you have placed in our hearts and the knowledge that we are forgiven through repentance of sin and belief in Jesus Christ, his righteousness having been imputed to us. And Father, tonight, I pray if there's anyone here who does not know for sure that they are saved, may your Spirit work within them that they might not leave without settling it. Father, we humbly bow now before you, thanking you, praising you for all you have done and are doing in our midst, that you are growing your church. We thank you for the unity that we have as a body with Christ as our head, for this past year and for your bountiful goodness upon us, for the answer to prayers for those who were and are sick, for those who are unemployed and struggling in some way. We thank you for the gifts that you have bestowed upon your people for the function of this body. And yet, Lord, I ask even more from you tonight, that you might grant us another year of growing in your word from the sound teaching that you've placed here, and that we may see many to come, many will come to know you through our testimony and through our witness. Father, be with Brian as he takes over as chairman of the elder board, and grant him and each of us wisdom, insight, knowledge, and understanding in the handling of the affairs of your church here at Countryside. May you use your church for you to bring glory to yourself. May we, the congregation of believers here at Countryside Bible Church, shine as lights in this world as we hold fast to the word of life, and may we rejoice always, pressing onwards towards the upward call of Christ Jesus, our Lord. These things I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Amen. Good evening. You may be seated. It is with thankfulness tonight that we present to you our annual business meeting. It's been my pleasure to serve as your chairman for the year of 2009. And what a year it has been. Our God has been so good to us. It was a year of uncertainty in their country, but not in his church. I believe it was a year of learning and growing in the love of our Lord. A time where we prayed for each other, where we reached out in times of need. A time when you gave beyond measure. So may tonight be a time of reflecting on how God has touched our lives as His children, as we work together in unity and love for each other in the name of the Lord. Tonight, we have in our presence those who are talented and they love to shoot people. No, they don't shoot them with a gun, but they shoot them with a camera. And there are many people involved in that, that God is talented with that. And then they give them to Charlie. And Charlie takes these shots, and somehow he puts them into a production that rivals that of the MGM Studios. Now, as far as I know, no one has seen tonight's production of Countryside's Year in Review. But we do take the moment to thank Charlie, to those who take those pictures, that we may see them and rejoice. So it's time now for us to step back, to enjoy, as we reflect on how the Lord is working in our midst.
As only Charlie can do. And they do a great job. Thanks, Charlie and team, for all your work on that. That's great. We have much to be thankful for. You know, the Bible makes it clear it's the Lord who builds His church. And the Lord has graciously allowed us to be a part of His church. So let's give Him thanks. Heavenly Father, even as we bow here, take time to reflect 2009 and all the special people and events that have taken place in this church or through this church. We're so grateful. First and foremost, we're grateful that you have allowed us to be your children, knowing that that is a demonstration of your great love that's been bestowed upon us. We're grateful for the word that you've entrusted to us. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that that is the foundation of our church, is we're grounded in the truth that you have given to us. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you've given your Spirit to give us understanding into truth. We're grateful for the fellowship that we have, for the privilege of outreach. We thank you for the scores and scores of people who faithfully serve here at Countryside. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you've allowed to go on with the building program as we anticipate the ongoing ministry with our children. Lord, so many things for the resources that you've made available. God, you've blessed us immensely. We know that we could never thank you enough for all that you've done, but we do bow here at this time to express to you our love and our gratitude, knowing that all that we've enjoyed, the blessings bestowed, are by your grace and your grace alone. And we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I'm going to give you a brief update on our finances. I wish I could put this in a film. Maybe I'll get Charlie to do that next year. And I don't take this first chart lightly. It's a reminder to me that this is God's church and that He provides for His church. And we've seen that even in difficult times this past year where God has provided for His church. I'm going to give you just a couple charts, let you know where we are to date. Our fiscal year starts the 1st of October, so these are numbers for October 1st through the end of the calendar year, 09. And when we talk about the general fund, we're talking about our operational fund. We're talking about the monies that are used for ministry and for all of our overhead and things that we have to pay for to take care of our buildings and staff and so forth. The general fund income, as you can say, our budget was $554,000 for the first 3 months. And our actual income was $491,440. That's $62,000 less than what we expected, but that's pretty close to where we were last year about this time. And so it's just a reminder to us that we need to continue to be faithful. What we saw last year is we were behind a little bit about this time, and gradually the Lord provided, and at the end of the year we were right where we needed to be. So we're trusting that God will do that through your faithful giving this year as well. And our expenses, our budget was $475,000, and you can see that we spent less than that, $394,000. So we're actually running a little bit behind on our expenses, and we expect that to be pretty much on budget by the end of the year. We've done a pretty good job of estimating those things through the last several years. The fund balances, these are the funds that we have in the church, and you can see the general fund at the end of, I won't go through all the numbers, but the end of the year, 9/30/09, in the general fund we had almost 400,000. Now, what we do is we look at that number. We believe that we need to have at least 3 months operating funds in our reserve. And so that number that shows 12/31/09, remarkably, is close to the about 500,000 that we need to have in reserve. This year is going to be different than other years, because in prior years we had a large building fund to fall back on if something were to happen. This year, as you'll see, that building fund is going down as the building goes up. And that's an exciting thing. That I wish we could all build a building like we saw it going up. Wasn't that pretty neat? So anyway, much to be thankful for in the area of the general fund, because we're right on target. It's really amazing, and it's because of our amazing God. Designated funds, there are a number of different funds there. I won't go through all of those for you. The building fund at the beginning of our fiscal year, end of last fiscal year, was about $1.5 million. It's gone down because obviously we're putting up to a building. And that will be gone, pretty much gone right now, right, Brian? It's pretty much gone. And so we will be taking some loan to complete the building for those funds that don't come in to match the cost of the building. Benevolence fund, we use that throughout the year for the needs of the people in this church and other places as the Lord places those needs before us. And we try and keep that at a level of about 20,000, and so we're right on target on that as well. We have much to be thankful for. The Lord provides for his church, and it's exciting to see that happen. It's a reminder that it's his church, and because it's his church, he's going to provide for his church, just like he provides for each one of us. And I will tell you that there is a group of men and one lady that do an outstanding job in our finances, that really understand finances, and I want to give thanks to all of them as well for their faithful work.
All right. Let's go to prayer. Father, we have so much to be thankful for. You're the Savior of our souls. You have bought us with a price. You sought us. You rescued us. You saved us from eternal punishment. And Father, yet you continue to lavish us with your grace. You are so merciful to a people who deserve just the opposite. And Father, you have demonstrated yourself faithful over and over again. And as you have done that, Father, we pray that you would help us to demonstrate ourselves faithful. Father, to protect us from ourselves, help us to think biblically at all times. And Father, we desire to be good stewards with our time. We desire to be good stewards with our talents. And then, Father, with all the gifts that you lavish upon us, we desire to be good stewards. Help us to never lose sight of the fact, Father, that we have nothing, that everything that we have, all that we have, is yours. Help us to hold loosely what you have entrusted to us. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Well, thank you all. It's my joy to take you a little further into the events of this last year, as well as looking forward to the year that lies before us. And we're going to do that with our running shoes on, so buckle up, and here we go. I'm so grateful for the work that Charlie did, and some of what I'm going to show you, I'm going to hurry through because it was in the video that he prepared. But it's been a joy for me as we've walked through the worship and the Word to really go through, again, Ephesians in the morning, and we began the first part of Ephesians 4, and we found ourselves through a good part of 5, and Lord willing, in this coming year, on Sunday morning, we will get into Ephesians 6, and maybe even finish the book. I'm not making any promises, but that may be where we go, because we'll also interpose some other things. Had a great journey through the Gospel of Mark, and of course that continues, and we're into chapter 7. We had a number of special guests this last year. You saw them on the video: Steve Lawson, James White at our SOLA conference, Scott Aravanis from out in California, a longtime friend of this church, Lance Quinn also, who has been a longtime friend of the church, Byron Yon, of course, who was here and served on staff, Paul Felix, who is a professor at the Master's Seminary, was able to be with us in the pulpit, Dan Dumas, a friend from Grace Church, and now Executive Vice President of Southern Seminary, and a pastor as well, and then Don Whitney, who has been like a brother to this church through many years, and we appreciate their ministry in the Word to us. The XOLA Conference series we started several years ago, and it really has been a great encouragement to me, and I hope it has to you as well, even as you look at the speakers and the lineup that we've had the last few years. This year, as we look at Sola Gratia 2010, Paul Phillips will be with us. As I mentioned this morning, a pastor from Greenville, South Carolina, a compelling speaker. I think you'll thoroughly enjoy his ministry, as well as Dr. Russell Moore from Southern Seminary, a brilliant theological mind, a wonderful, interesting preacher of the Word of God, and as well as Dr. John Hanna, who specializes in the very thing that we're looking at in our conference in terms of looking at church history and the flow of God's goodness. So we hope you'll plan to be with us. The schedule is on the website. I'm not going to go through it, but do look at the schedule and plan to be with us for the events on that weekend coming up in February, February 19 to 21. As you look back over this last year, there were a number of special events that were really wonderful, I think. We had a couples night at the movies and went and saw Fireproof, which reminded us all of the need to be faithful to one another in marriage. Our men's retreat, the men's breakfast that were mentioned, the women's retreat that was mentioned on the video as well, our children's choir spring musical of Captain Noah, as well as the all-church picnic over at Bear Creek Park, and the barbecue and concert with the Pierce family in July. Ministry fair is always a highlight in August. So those are just a few of the special events that we enjoyed as a church. It's pretty amazing, really, when you step back and look at all that went on this year, and it's exciting to see everyone who's involved. As far as leadership, these are the elders of the church. Those of you may be new, you recognize some faces here, and hopefully you can connect with them if you have any questions, or with me. But I'm so grateful for these men and for the fact that God has put them here. I tell them often, there is not another group of elders anywhere that I would rather be serving with than with them. And so I thank God for their lives and ministries. Our deacons, God has also blessed this church with a great group of men to lead in various ministries, and we appreciate their ministry in that way. And this, by the way, will be on the website, so you can catch up with particular faces and names if you want to connect. This is our church staff. And again, a gifted group of people that the Lord has brought here to serve, and I'm so grateful for them and their ministry. One of the important ministries of our church is our home fellowships. The elders decided several years ago that we wanted to emphasize in the middle of the week small groups where people could get together, study the Word of God, pray for one another, build relationships, fellowship. And that's become a wonderful part of the life of our church. There are now 11 groups in 7 different communities around the Metroplex going through 1 John. And we're so grateful for Rich Dewey and his work on the curriculum, and for Rocky and his staff heading this up and organizing it. Barb Kemp has a great part of that as well. These are the home fellowships, and again, if you're wondering where they are, you can chase them down on the internet, or you can give us a call here at the church office. Another significant part of our ministry this last year had to do with the shepherds. Some 51 different people and couples who agreed to help shepherd the people of this church by checking in with them, seeing how they're doing. We're making some changes to that with the coming year. We're going to do more of that through some of the existing Sunday school classes and other Sunday morning ministries, but the shepherds will still play an important part of the ministry of the church, and we're so grateful for their ongoing ministry. Just some ministry news for you to consider. Jeff Scarborough, our church administrator, gave me these charts, and I thought I would share them with you. They're very encouraging. You can see the first one sort of documents the worship attendance, the weekly average from year to year. And you can see as well, people are giving faithfully as the church grows. The giving is growing as well. And we thank God for his faithfulness in both ways. Very, very encouraging. The word unleashed has become a staple for our church, and we're grateful for all of those who make it possible, both in supporting it financially as well as working in the ministry to make it happen week in and week out. And it, as you see here, is on KVTT 11:10 a.m., a 30-minute program now on Sunday morning, and you can see the programming that's aired this last year. Current series is from Philippians 1, The Reason We Live. And we're really amazed at the number of visits that have come from that to our Word Unleashed website, a total of 4,300 different visits, 1,600 unique people have, they're probably unique as well, but I mean individuals, different individuals have come and accessed that website. As far as the life of the church, 8 baptisms, 65 new members this year, 2 weddings, and 30 births, and in God's providence, 3 of our members went to be with the Lord this last year. So the life of the church moves on, and we rejoice in all that he does. One of the important aspects of our ministry has to do with missions. And a number of things happened this last year. You remember the benevolence offering we began the year with for Tibet. You were very generous, and we were able to help the Briggs a great deal. Also, the transition of Joe and Christy Swanson. They had for some 7 years been in Durango, and in May they moved to Spokane, where now Joe is involved with Moody Aviation there, and looking to what the Lord may have for him for the future, but we're so grateful for them. Also, we had a missions emphasis week in September when we really stressed the importance of and emphasized the missions that are a part of this church, and then I had the opportunity in October to go to Italy and be involved with a pastor's conference there for Italian pastors and church leaders. Some 300 or so pastors and church leaders came. John MacArthur joined via a video connection because he had just had his surgery and wasn't able to travel. And Steve Lawson and I were there. Just a great week of looking at sola fide, sola gratia, the great doctrines of the Reformation, which have now, of course, been eclipsed in Italy thanks to the Roman Catholic Church. Also, in terms of missions, you remember our involvement with the ministry in West Africa with the Newports. We raised money for libraries for pastors, putting specifically John MacArthur's Study Bible and Epistles of Paul commentary in their hands, and some $9,400 was raised, and a number of libraries have been created. We'll get back to you with a specific report on that as it becomes available. We implemented missionary prayer teams to pray faithfully for our missionaries, specific people who would do that and groups that would do that. We also added some new short-term missionaries, Tim and Molly Hines, Molly formerly Melton, that's how you'll make that connection, and they are in China as of June, and they're going to be there for 3 years. In addition to that, we have recently added some new full-time, long-term missionaries, Mark and Katie Scarborough, who are going to be with us while they're finishing raising their support. But they have courageously and boldly agreed and are excited about serving the Lord in Lebanon and with a pastor's training center there. So we thank God for his call in their lives, and we look forward to supporting them as a church. You'll get to know them over the next year or so as they finish raising their support. We also purchased property and partially funded a new church building in Kenya and with a sister church there. And just a reminder that coming up this year, the Briggs are going to be back with us on furlough, so we look forward to interacting with them. This last year, a new ministry started, the International Friends Ministry, in September. You remember to reach internationals, involves English classes and all of the things you see there, meets on Thursday mornings, and we've been very encouraged. You can see there the participation. Some 32 people have registered. The average attendance is 15 to 16, maximum attendance of 20, and you can see the countries that these people come from: South Korea, Japan, China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and Mexico. And it's really been an exciting ministry, and it's growing, and we thank God for the ministry we're able to have in the lives of these people and for those who've volunteered and made this their heart. We're now advertising as well in Korean and Japanese newspapers to let them know that this ministry exists, that this opportunity exists for them. In addition to that, in local outreach, we started with Grace of Grapevine, Grace Medical Team, started in September as well. Basically, we fully staff a medical clinic one Thursday evening each month. And Dr. Mary Van Hall has led that up, and we're so grateful for her and for all those who are part of it. But it's just a great opportunity for us to care for people in our community who need desperately the medical help that they can get there but can't afford it otherwise. Also, in partnership with Grace of Grapevine this last year, both in March and July, our young people went into the apartments over in Grapevine and ministered to the summer latchkey kids. We fed them lunch. Over 1,000 kids were fed lunch through those times, and we shared the gospel at the same time with over 1,000 kids. Justin told me they had to have an opportunity to hear and receive the gospel before they could get lunch. So we ensured that both were done, and we thank God for that opportunity. Here is lunch, as you can see, one of the apartment complexes, and here's the opportunity to go through the gospel together. So really an exciting ministry. Another ministry that kicked off this last year was video streaming in a big way. It began on October 4th of this year. It's broadcast over the internet, all three Sunday services in their entirety, broadcast live, and there's a link on our homepage, so if you're ever sick or out of the area traveling and need to, you can go there and link up. But it's been exciting to see. The average number of unique visitors per Sunday is 81, and the average total viewer hours per Sunday, 73. And so, and then you can see on one particular day, 113 joined us. So it's another opportunity to minister to people, and we thank God for that ministry and all of those who make it possible, both back in the booth as well as in other parts of the campus on Sunday morning. Another ministry that I am very excited about that started this last year and you need to know about, pray about, is a special needs ministry. The ministry coordinator is Laura Trevitt, and as you can see, it has grown this last year. We now have 8 children who are involved in that ministry and 10 workers helping them, and so we are really excited about that. You know, it's pure and undefiled religion to help those who are in need and cannot fully care for themselves. And so it's a wonderful privilege for our church to have this ministry. And I'm so grateful for those who've taken it on. Also, in conjunction with that ministry, there's going to be a special room in the new building that will give them the facility they need to specially minister to the kids as they need that ministry. So it just gives them flexibility, and we're grateful that they can do that. A ministry that began sort of at the end of last year but really is getting underway this year is our employment exchange. This is for our unemployed and underemployed folks who are part of the church family. We've already had a couple of meetings led by Brian Chandler every other Tuesday. I think this is right, Brian, at 7:30 a.m. in the North Building in the West Classroom. If you're in that situation, You can give us a call and confirm that data, make sure they're going to be meeting the next time, but we'll put you in touch with them. But we're excited about that opportunity to encourage those and pray for and look for opportunities for those who are either unemployed or underemployed. We're also praying about a couple to lead a singles ministry. There's been for several years a desire on the part of those who are single in our church to have a ministry that would be geared to them and their specific needs and give them opportunity to minister together and to have events together. And so we're praying that God would provide just the right couple to lead that ministry. And we have some possibilities, I think, and we're in prayer and discussion about that, but you can pray for the future about that ministry. You know, a special part of the church always has been, from the very beginning, is caring for those in need financially and with the physical needs of this life. This year, you gave $76,000 in contributions for benevolence to take care of physical needs. We expended $98,000. Now, we planned to do that. There was a little bit of surplus from the previous year that we knew we would need to spend, and so that's not unexpected, but continue to be faithful to give. Here's how we distributed that in our own congregation, some 57 families, $27,000. Outside our church family, more than 25 recipients, $71,000. That includes $4,000 for the Samara Preachers Conference to make it possible for pastors in Russia who couldn't afford to come to the conference and to have their room and board there. $2,000 to Grace of Grapevine during the economic downturn. $9,400, as I mentioned, for those libraries in French West Africa. $11,000 for missionary relocation expense support. And $40,000 you gave to help Doug Briggs and his ministry based on the needs they have there. And so I'm just so grateful that you as a church are so generous to care for those who are in need. I think that honors our Lord, and it's a great encouragement to me and those of us in leadership. Our women's ministries, you saw pictured there. There are a couple of ministries that perhaps you're not as aware of. Titus 2 wasn't mentioned there. They've been going through Humility by Wayne Mack and the Wednesday Bible study, Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges. Other ongoing ministries down there at the bottom, the Baskets of Blessings ministry, providing food for the sick, and the Hospitality, Care, and Concerns ministry for those who are bereaving, and then Newcomers Coffees, and we're grateful for their ongoing ministries in these areas. A few just miscellaneous items. The video ministry has been improved this year. If you've been down to the video overflow, you know we put some LCD screens down there, make it a little better. We've upgraded the camera to an HD camera and switcher, and so that's now in operation, and the adult classes are cycling through that during the second hour. We've had up to 120 people down in the video overflow on a Sunday morning. We've gotten a new church database software, which is going to enable us to do some great things with making sure our kids are safe in the weeks and months ahead. And we've added as well a new phone system. We're grateful for those who worked to make that possible through this last year. The new children's building, of course, has been a great part of the focus of many in our church. By God's grace, I haven't had to be a big part of that. And I thank God for those who have. This is the building committee members, and you thank them for the blood, sweat, and tears that they have poured into this project. And we're so grateful for their involvement. Here's where we've been in terms of the building. Late March, we began construction. Midsummer, we completed the site and utility work and received our building permit. September, the foundation and slab were completed, and in late October, that fast view of the walls going up, that happened. In late November, they began the interior finish out. Here's just a kind of picture. That was the field before we began, and then December of 08 was our official groundbreaking, and then the actual groundbreaking happened this year with all of the work following, finishing off the slab there, the foundation, then the tilt-up walls began, putting the steel in, and then beginning the interior finish out as well. This was during our tour of the building just recently in December, folks looking through. So we had the building tour on December 20th, and all the interior walls were framed in sheetrock. Since then, all the walls have been taped, bedded, textured, and painted with a first coat of paint. The ceiling grid is in, lights, some ceiling tile. Floor and wall tile have been installed in all the bathroom and classrooms. Many of the bathroom fixtures have been installed, most of the cabinets, and work has continued to progress on finishing both the interior and the exterior. Here you can see just a couple of shots of some of the rooms as they come together. This is the exterior finish on the other end, if you haven't been down there yet. On the bottom, where you see that concrete, there will be a brick facade. So it'll be a very nice-looking building, and we're grateful for those who served as a part of the exterior committee to make it an attractive building. Here's where we're going. In the coming weeks with the building, they'll be installing the carpets. In fact, I think that starts this week. Installing windows and doors as those come in a couple of weeks, and the elevator, as well as painting the final coats throughout and finishing out everything else, including the playroom and the audiovisual equipment, and then finishing all of the exterior. When all of that's done, we can apply for our certificate of occupancy. And it looks like we're shooting for February, and that's a realistic date, but even if things go, if there are some setbacks, Lord willing, it'll be very soon after that. So we're looking at, in God's goodness, finishing up that building in the very near future. So that's really a very quick rundown of some of the things that have happened, some of the things that are going to happen. And those ministries that I mentioned to you, I hope you'll pray about those. You'll pray about maybe getting involved in them. I'm very excited about how we can, as a church, reach into our community with both help for people physically as well as with the gospel of Christ. So you pray about those things. You know, as I thought about all that we've seen tonight, I was reminded of the end of Ephesians 2, where Paul describes the church. As we work through it, you remember those three powerful pictures of the church. He said the church was like a family of people, a new family. We are fellow family members in a new family. He said the church is like fellow citizens in a new nation. And he said the church is like fellow stones in a new temple in which God himself will dwell. And every stone, every family member, every citizen contributing their part to make the whole function. And I was just reminded of that tonight as I thought about the contribution that so many people make into the operation of this church, the ministry of this church, the ongoing day-to-day ministry of the church. So thank you so much for using your gifts. So many of you are so faithful in that way. And if tonight you've been challenged, I hope if you haven't used the gift God has given you in this body, you will consider that that is what God has given you that gift for, is to use it here in this congregation. Well, it's my joy to recognize and express my own personal appreciation tonight to Gary Amack, who has served as the chairman of the elder board this last year. A lot of work is involved with that, a lot of time, a lot of prayer, a lot of sweat at times. It's hard to keep us on track too, isn't it, Gary? You get nine guys in the same room and talking about something, it's hard to keep us on track. So he's done a good job of that and so many other things. I just want to thank him for his ministry. Gary, come here a second. Thank you, brother. Thanks so much for your ministry. Appreciate you. I also want to introduce to you, really needs no introduction, but the chairman of our elder board for this coming year is Brian Chandler. And, you know, it's really good in God's faithfulness to us. When I came my first year here, Brian Chandler was the chairman of the elder board, and now we've gone through all of the elders and we're back to Brian. And I just thank God for that line of faithfulness year in and year out, and I thank God as well for Brian and his ministry in so many ways, and I'm looking forward to serving alongside him as the chairman, as he is the chairman this next year. Brian, come and close our time in prayer.
Well, we've looked forward and we've looked back, so it must be time to go home, right? But I do remember when I had this job 6 years ago, 5 years ago, and we're a very different church. For those of you that were here and those that time 6 years ago, you'll remember with me, we didn't have a pastor, and we were a broken church. And boy, what a work the Lord has done. And in the lives of the people in this church and in the body of this church, and I'm just thankful for our pastor and his faithfulness and leading us during this time. And, you know, I want to leave us with a thought as we leave. We've talked about God's church, and we've watched and seen all the activity that has happened in God's church this last year and what's planned to happen in the future. And as individuals, we have a personal responsibility to the activities of this church. And I don't know if you noticed in the bulletin today, there were the essentials that were on a sheet in your program. And if you haven't looked at that, I would encourage you to, as you go home, find your bulletin and find those essentials, because I think that's what we need to be about in this church. We need to be about, and I'll just remind you of them, we need to be about worship. We need to be about Bible study, prayer, fellowship, evangelism, and service. That's what the essential elements of a spiritually healthy church, its membership is actively engaged in. And as Tom just mentioned, the other area I kind of wanted to remind us about is we all need to have a fervent, passionate love for God's church, for this local church. And Tom wrote something. I didn't ask him if I could read this, but he wrote it for the Shepherd's Guide. He kind of mentioned it, but since we didn't compare notes, I'll read it to you. It says this, the most helpful resource, Tom is writing this in response to a question. He says, the most helpful resource that I've found for cultivating a love for the church is teaching through Ephesians. I don't think I or my church will forget those powerful images at the end of chapter 2. We are fellow citizens in a new country, family members in a new family, and living stones in God's temple. Each of us has been permanently connected to each other, and together we have become the new Holy of Holies, the place where God specially manifests his presence. How can we not love the church when we learn that it is at the center of God's plan of the ages and is his primary stage in the world today for putting his glory on display? So we need to have that exhibited in our daily lives, just a fervent love for God's church. And I just thought we'd close praying through this passage that's at the end of Ephesians 2. So let's pray. Father, help us to be a people that exhibit a passionate love for your church and are actively engaged in the essential activities of your church. Father, help us to be a people that remember that it is in Christ Jesus that we who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For it is Christ that is our peace. For it is Christ who has reconciled us with God through the cross. For it is through Christ that we have access in one spirit to the Father. Therefore, we are no longer strangers and aliens, but we are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom we also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Father, we pray that would be the mark of this body at Countryside Bible Church. And Father, to you be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.